Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, you want that to go?
Huge takeouts this morning in finance and sports. And was it a good week or a bad week? You decide. We'll find out in a moment. But first, the famous words of bank robber Willie Sutton when asked why he robbed banks. Because that's where the money is. And that's certainly where the president thinks the money is.
Banks will no longer be allowed to own, invest, or sponsor hedge funds, private equity funds, or proprietary trading operations for their own profit, unrelated to serving their customers.
Joining us is Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Well, the president spoke, the markets tumbled, and this was some tough rhetoric out of the White House. What does it mean?
It's tough rhetoric, John, but, you know, I think that some people would say where the money is not in the banks. I think some people would say where the money is every January is in the bank workers' pockets when they get paid their bonuses.
Right.
And so it's not a coincidence that you're seeing, just as Wall Street workers get these massive bonuses, you're seeing the White House take a very populist stance with much stricter rules and policies and ideas for Wall Street. You know, it was just a week ago that they're coming out about taxing the banks. This week, he's coming out in strong favor of the Consumer Protection Agency, which some people thought was going to be dead in Congress. And now, yesterday, you're right, he proposed, you know, what is viewed as a very, very strong approach, the strongest of his administration to the financial crisis.
And something he could have done.
Something
as
he
you
could
were saying
have
yesterday,
done a year ago. And for some reason, he
right.
now has decided to take a hard stance. So what he said is three things. One, there can be no proprietary trading in banks. That's when a bank trades for its own books. Like, you know, all those mortgage bonds that the banks held that ended up causing the massive write-downs.
Right.
They were holding those on their own books. So one, they can't do that. Two, they cannot own stakes or investments in hedge funds or private equity firms. And those have proven to be incredibly profitable for banks like Goldman. They let their workers invest in them, and those turned out big returns and paid big bonuses. Three, he said, these banks cannot do any more acquisitions that will make them larger. The largest banks cannot grow bigger than 10% of all banking liabilities. And that is very interesting because, of course, it was the government during the financial crisis that pushed so many banks to merge together. So that's a bit of a reversal of the historical timeline here.
Louise Story, I guess if I'm sitting at one of those exotic finance desks over at Goldman Sachs or Citigroup, I'm a little worried about my job maybe this morning. Who knows? Louise Story, thanks so much.
Sports takeout time. This is a big weekend for football fans. What do you say?
Yeah,
the New Orleans Saints hosting the Minnesota Vikings, NFC Championship there, the Indianapolis Colts and the Jets. They're from New York, right, Ibrahim?
Our
takeaway sports contributor, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen. Hey, let's. We pulled an interesting little cut from the archives here. Let's listen.
First plays that I've been in the NFL right now have not been the best. Last year against Washington, I came in and ball got deflected and the guy picked it, went in for a touchdown. And preseason this year, the first pass I throw is a bomb for an interception. And I come in the regular season, the first pass I complete to myself. So it's hopefully I'll do a lot better on my first passes from now on.
That's Brett Favre.
So that was Brett Favre in 1992 when he was the starting quarterback for the Green Bay Packers. It's been a long time since then, and I'm wondering today whether we're going to have a storybook performance, a storybook ending for Brett Favre. It started off kind of rusty, but now he is one of the most pure. He certainly has a Hall of Fame career. So these are the keys, I think, for the victory for each team. First of all, the offensive line of the New Orleans Saints has to perform. The Vikings have a vicious pass rush, led by Jared Allen, and if they can't stop Jared Allen, they will not win the game.
That could hurt an old man if they got through that line.
It could certainly hurt an old man. The other thing is Adrian Peterson, the running back for the Vikings, he hasn't rushed for over 100 yards in 8 games. He cannot fumble the football. He has a propensity to let go of the football. So does Brett Favre. Now, if the Saints can get them to fumble the ball or if they can get the Vikings to throw an interception, then the Saints will win the game. And that is the key to the game. Whoever wins
turnovers.
The turnover and takeaway ratio will win this game.
Need your predictions, Ibrahim.
Well, okay, so here, real quick, I just want to go to this real quick with Darren Sharper.
Okay, go.
You know, they got a lot of weapons. The thing that's going to help us is that we've seen in practice against the offense that has a lot of weapons also. So we'll be more than prepared for that.
Darren Sharper is the X factor. I'm going with the Saints in this one. He's going to get a big interception late in the game, and I'm going with the Jets.
Of course you're going with the Jets.
Yeah, I don't know. We shall see.
I don't think he's very objective.
Ibrahim Abdul-Latif, thanks so much.